All right, Israel has just dropped a earthquake bomb that caused a colossal explosion. It was so large that it registered on the Richter scale, striking a Syrian coast as airstrikes target weapons depot after fall of Assad regime and Damascus taken over by rebels. That's what we're going to talk about today. Things are heating up in the Middle East. I know we're all distracted by the drone debacle going on in the United States of America. While all that's going on, the Middle East is expanding in the chaos that's already ensued there for months, even years, that's been taking place and building up. So get ready, buckle up. We've talked about this. We warned about this. All eyes are on Syria. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? Good afternoon. It is Monday, December the 16th. We are 9 days until Christmas Day. We want to welcome you to the program today. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, and I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, do me a favor, a couple things right off before we get started on this. Number one, if you're new, first time joining us, you stumbled into our podcast or are the broadcaster on YouTube, Rumble, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And we welcome you to the program. We hope you enjoy our content and you stick around. Number two, can everybody do us a favor? You know the drill. Hit that like button. Help us push this out on the algorithm. And if you've not yet subscribed, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And then, listen, if you want to make sure you don't miss any headline, any podcast, any breaking news, we always want to encourage you, stop by your app store. If you have an Android, we got you covered. If you've got an Apple phone, we've got you covered. Either one, you can go to either store, download, just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our official ETH logo. If you're watching the visual, this is right there on your screen. That's what it's going to look like. If you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, it is, again, it'll say ETH, End Time Headlines. It's going to have the four blood moons with the solar eclipse in the middle of it. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away, and you won't miss a beat. So we always appreciate that. And again, it's free for you guys. There's no cost. You don't have anything to lose. But yet, you'd be surprised. People do still complain. People find ways to complain about the app because it does have ads on it. And we've emphasized that the ads are there so that it pays for itself because there's a maintenance fee. There is updates that we have to do with the app, and that costs money. So this kind of reciprocates and pays for itself, and that's why we've done it. So that's why we offer it free for you, but we allow ads so that it doesn't cost you anything. But it pays for the app to stay up and keep updating and keep up to par with everything that's going on. So, hope everybody's had a great weekend. It's actually warmed up a little bit here in Georgia. Believe it or not, it's going to be like 69, 70 degrees in the next couple of days. I'm sure that's so healthy for your sinuses. It went from in the 30s, boom, all the way up to 70 again. And then you wonder why. People wonder why I deal with sinuses and all this stuff all the time, because it's the roller coaster weather. I thought I got away from that when I left Kentucky and Indiana and all that. Kentuckiana, you know, we made jokes about that. If you don't like the weather, stick around a couple of days and it'll change. For the most part, we love the weather here in Georgia because I don't like the snow and I don't like the cold. It's beautiful. It looks great to look at. And I love to go see it and visit it, but I don't want it as a part of life. I don't like driving in it. I don't like the cold. It hurts my bones. And I know I sound like an old person, and I'm getting there. I'm knocking on 50. So I get it. For all of our older folks that don't like the cold, come on. I feel you now. I'm with you right now. So Anyway, we're going to take a break from the drone debacle. I mean, we have beaten that with a dead, we've beaten that as a, like a dead horse. We've beaten it and beaten that drum, and we went on. And again, we covered that yesterday. If you didn't watch yesterday's podcast, go back and watch it. I think this thing is pretty much at this point, we've all come, most of us have come to the conclusion that these are our drones and this is a hunt for probably WMDs, radioactive material, dirty bombs, whatever. Again, WMDs. That's what I believe is going on. And that's my final conclusion. Now, we'll see. I think we're all going to find out sooner or later, and we'll see how that goes. But while we were all looking at this and paying attention to all this going on, something major happened in the Middle East in regards to Israel and Syria. We want to get you up to par with that. This was a pretty phenomenal event that took place. Look at this headline. This is from the Daily Mail. Israel drops earthquake bomb. Now, what the heck is an earthquake bomb? We'll explain that in just a minute. As a result of this, it produced a colossal explosion. Look at this. I don't want to play too much of the video because I don't want to get hit with a copyright claim. But you can see the image here. Look at it. It almost looks like a small tactical nuclear weapon. In fact, the impact was so large it registered on the Richter scale. And this struck a Syrian, it struck the Syrian coast as as Israeli airstrikes target weapons depots. Now we talked about this after the fall of Assad regime. Let's get into this article. Colossal explosions have filled the skies in Syria as Israeli strikes are said to have targeted military sites and the heaviest strikes in the area for more than a decade, with blasts which registered on earthquake sensors. A war monitor group said the Israeli strikes had targeted military sites in Syria's coastal Tartarus region. Tartarus region. Israeli weapons launched strikes targeting a series of sites, including air defense units and surface-to-surface missile depots, according to the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, in what said were the heaviest strikes in Syria's coastal region since the start of strikes in 2012. It has been claimed that the explosion was so large it, quote, measured as a magnitude 3.0 earthquake on seismic sensors. Tartarus has been the location of one of Russia's two military bases in Syria and was used as a naval base as well as an ammunition depot. Now, stop for a second. Look at that. So this location that Israel struck with this earthquake bomb was the location of one of Russia's two military bases in Syria. Uh-oh. So it's going to be interesting to see how Putin responds to this. How will Russia respond to this? Because now it is involving them. This was also, again, was used as a naval base as well as an ammunition depot. So again, I will be intrigued to see Putin's response. How will Russia respond to this? And again, remember, guys, Russia is a huge player in Bible prophecy, Ezekiel 38:39. But what is this? Maybe you're like me and you, I kind of knew what this was, but I had to refresh my memory. And you're like, well, what is an earthquake bomb? An earthquake bomb is a type of large aerial bomb designed to penetrate deep into ground structures or fortifications before detonating, creating a shockwave akin to a small-scale earthquake. Its purpose is to destroy hardened or deeply buried targets such as bunkers, dams, or submarine pens that would be resistant to conventional bombing. So again, this was a sophisticated, coordinated military effort by Israeli defense forces. The key features of an earthquake bomb are these bombs are extremely heavy and large, and these things weigh several tons. They're designed to penetrate deep into the earth or through layers of reinforced concrete before exploding. These are these what they also call these bunker busting bombs. This is what they would likely use if they were to bomb Iran's nuclear facility. A delayed detonation mechanism allows the bomb to burrow before exploding, maximizing the impact on underground or heavily fortified targets. Rather than relying on a direct impact, the bomb's detonation creates seismic waves that collapse nearby structures or underground facilities. Again, this term, earthquake bomb, emphasizes the weapon's ability to cause widespread structural instability resembling the effects of an actual earthquake. And again, this is why this thing, I mean, look, we're going to scroll down. I'm going to show you some images of this. And again, this was registered on the Richter scale there in that area. All right, let's go back. The huge explosion as well as secondary explosions may indicate the presence of a large volume of stored armaments. Dramatic videos circulating. Now look at this, guys, at the image. And again, I understand you guys on Apple, Spotify can't see this, but we are looking at image of this, where this bomb struck. Dramatic videos on social media. And we shared this on our Telegram page, by the way. That's why I want to encourage you guys, if you don't follow us on Telegram, go over there, because we can share a lot of this stuff that we won't get hit with this stuff, and it won't get censored there, that we don't share on any other social media platform. Huge bright flashes followed by several explosions, which sent an enormous mushroom cloud of smoke into the air. Russia's foreign ministry earlier today said it evacuated. So Russia is chiming in right here. It evacuated some of its diplomatic staff from Syria a week after the fall of the nation's dictator, again, Bashar al-Assad. Again, look at this image. Look at that. Could you imagine for a moment being in that? Imagine the guy who took the picture. We don't understand this. We don't fathom this. We live in America. We don't see this stuff yet. But if you took a picture of this, guys, you would think that a nuke dropped. I mean, this would be absolutely terrifying. Here's another picture of this. Look at that. Again, this was in the, this was over Tartus on the Syrian coast. This is probably the most dramatic image of this. And it literally looks like a nuclear weapon. A nuclear bomb was dropped on the city of Tartus. And again, this is a sophisticated, coordinated military effort, or I wouldn't even say effort, a military strike by Israel. Here's another picture. Look at that. Unbelievable images. Again, if you're listening by Apple, Spotify, guys, help us out. Give us a good review, and then come over here on YouTube and check out these images if you've not seen this. According to researcher Richard Cordero, the blast was detected by a magnetometer stationed 820 kilometers away in western Turkey. He added that the signal had traveled about as twice as fast as the typical earthquake. A naval military base was first established by the Soviet Union in Tartus in 1971. So they're going to go over the whole history of this. We don't want to, I don't want to put you into a sleep on the history of all this. Again, we wanted to get you up to par with, again, here's another amazing image of this. Again, if you're just tuning in, again, Israel has conducted a strategic military strike using what is known as an earthquake bomb to strike what looks like to be a weapons facility in Tartus, a coastal city of Syria. Again, this is not Damascus. Guys, if this happened in Damascus, I'm telling you, this would be blowing up all over prophecy circles, because remember, we talked about this. This was the concern that I have, is, and what I think would be intriguing is if Damascus is the location for these chemical, biological agents, weapons, whatever other weapons they may store there underground, in facilities, in weapon depots, whatever not, then guys, what we're seeing, these images that we're showing you, I'm going to pull this back up here. This, I believe, could be a preview of the city of Damascus based on, excuse me, based on Isaiah 17, right there. We don't be surprised in 2025 or earlier. We've still got a couple weeks left of 2024. We can literally see this unfold in Damascus, Syria, in our lifetime, seeing it become a ruinous heap. This is going to be intriguing to see how all of this goes down. Now, I want to read this. This is a statement from the rebel forces that have moved in and taken over Syria and run Assad out. Their leader has just made a statement and, quote, they're saying that Israel has crossed the line. Here we go. Israel has crossed the line. And guys, let me know your thoughts in the comments. Of course, always, we'd love to hear from you in the chat. Let us know your thoughts on this. Syria's de facto leader says Israel has, quote, crossed the lines of engagement with its military actions inside the country following the toppling of the Assad regime. The Israeli military moved its troops into a demilitarized zone inside Syria after the group swept Bashar al-Assad from power last week. And again, this statement was made before this bomb hit. I want to emphasize that. This statement right here from the leader of this rebel group, this statement was made before this earthquake bomb struck. This was because Syria was going in and just in a rampage. I mean, just striking all of these different weapons, ammunition sites, and naval bases and whatnot in Syria. Now, we talked about that last week. So, I mean, they're saying they crossed the red line before this earthquake bomb. The statement says, it says it's just a justification for doing so to ensure border security for citizens living in the occupied Golan Heights area. But the leader, Hamad al-Sharaa, better known by his, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, says Israel's arguments have become weak and no longer justify their recent violations. Wow. The Israelis have clearly crossed the lines of engagement in Syria, which poses a threat of unwarranted escalation in the region. Again, this was said in an interview published on the website of Syria TV. All right, now look at this, guys. Turkey's getting involved. Turkey will offer military training to Syria if new administration requests. Let me say that again. Turkey is offering military training to Syria if the new administration requests so. Again, this is huge news, again, because these are major players of Bible prophecy. Russia, Turkey, and Iran. Now, again, Syria is absent completely from Ezekiel 38-39. And again, it is my opinion, the reason why they are absent is because they have been completely immobilized. They have been completely left in ruins, fulfilling Isaiah 17. Therefore, they don't have the ability to even be able to engage in a military conflict that's coming in Ezekiel 38-39. But watch this. The new administration in Syria should be given a chance to govern following their constructive messages. And Turkey stands ready to provide military training if such help is requested. Again, this is from the Turkish defense minister. NATO member Turkey backed the Syrian rebels. Now, imagine this. Turkey is backing these Syrian rebels who are now threatening Israel. Again, these Syrian rebels have the same goal. They have the same desire, which is to see Jerusalem toppled, and again, to form their caliphate, to conquer, to keep going through and conquering the conquered, and taking land, and setting up an Islamic stronghold, again, with the elimination of Israel. Don't miss it. And here you have Turkey that is backing the Syrian rebels who toppled Assad, again, ending a 13-year civil war. Turkey reopened its embassy in Damascus on Saturday, 2 days after its intelligence chief visited Syrian capital. Quote, In their first statement, the new administration that toppled Assad announced that it would respect all government institutions, the UN, and other international organizations. Okay, well, we'll see how long that lasts. We think We think that we need to see what the new administration will do and to give them a chance. When asked whether Turkey was considering military cooperation with the new Syrian government, their foreign minister said that, quote, Turkey already had military cooperation and training agreements with many countries. Turkey is ready to provide the necessary support if the new administration requests it. Since 2016, Turkey has mounted four military operations across growing swaths of northern Syria, citing threats to its national security. Turkey is estimated to maintain a few thousand troops in towns including Afrin, Azez, and Jarablus, and I don't even know how you pronounce that, in northwestern Syria, and these locations there in the northeast. Now, you have to remember, guys, Turkey is the same country led by Erdogan, who multiple times has threatened Israel, has called on an Islamic military, called on Islamic nations to form a confederacy to defend itself against Israel, to remove Israel from the equation, if you would. Now, does that sound familiar? If it doesn't, go read Psalms chapter 83. There's a Psalm 83 war. Now, some say that this has already been fulfilled, and others, and I include myself in this equation, in this mix, others believe that it has not been fulfilled. And in that conflict, consequently, Syria is involved in Psalm 83. And it is a confederacy of nations, a coalition of nations with the sole intent, and I mean, I'll just pull up the scripture again. You never know. We might have people in here that don't know this. You might be new, might be the first time you've heard of this, so I'll just read this to you. In Psalm 83, verse 3, this coalition of nations will take crafty counsel against the Jewish people. They have consulted together against the sheltered ones. We pointed that out before. Again, this is why I believe this is coming now, because Israel is now at this present day, here in 2024, they have walled cities, they have the bars, they have the gates. And verse 4, they said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent, and they form a confederacy. And again, Turkey is involved in this, so is Syria, so is the Palestinians. And again, all of these nations, guys, among others, are involved in this conflict. So this is why this is important. This is why we're talking about this today. This is why we bring these things up and why they are something that we need to be paying attention to, because again, this is what we do. End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We're giving you prophetic insights and prophetic perspectives of stories and events that are transpiring today. Okay, now I want to show you this article. I thought this was intriguing. Look at this headline from Israel 365 News: Isaiah versus the two-state solution, a biblical vision for Israeli power. Let's read a little bit about this. The leaders of Syria's Druze community in Al-Hadir just did something unthinkable. They asked to join Israel. Yes, you read that correctly. Facing the threat of radical Islamic forces at their doorstep, these Druze leaders decided that Israeli sovereignty was their only hope for survival. Quote, they might take our women, might take our daughters, might take our houses, they warned. The choice was clear: face destruction or seek protection under Israeli rule. This development demolishes the Western elite's favorite narrative about Israel being a pariah state that oppresses minorities. Even as the UN condemns Israel for occupation, actual Mideast minorities are requesting to live under Israeli protection And the Druze aren't alone. Kurdish leaders controlling a quarter of Syria have, let me pause this, guys, stupid ad, live under Israeli protection, and the Druze aren't alone. Kurdish leaders controlling a quarter of Syria have also reached out to Israel for help against Turkish-backed Islamic forces. You control the skies. Everyone fears you. One Kurdish commander told Israeli media he knows that Western politicians refuse to admit Israel is the only reliable security guarantor in the region. The situation was predicted thousands of years ago by the prophet Isaiah, though everyone loves to quote his famous prophecy about nations being swords into plowshares. They conveniently ignore what comes right before it. Isaiah explicitly states that peace only arrives after the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and all the nations flow into it. Now, I want to, this again, this is a commentary. This isn't mere poetry. It's a blueprint, wow, for Middle East peace. Look at this verbiage that makes a lot more sense than the failed two-state solution fantasy. As Ziv Mayor argues, Isaiah saw Jerusalem becoming a center of both spiritual and political leadership, with surrounding peoples voluntarily accepting its authority. For quote, out of, this is Isaiah 20 or Isaiah 2, 3 and 4, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations. In modern political terms, this arrangement is called suzerainty. Suzerainty. It means regions keep significant autonomy while giving control of defense and foreign policy to a stronger protecting state. And they go on and they use Puerto Rico's relationship with the U.S. an example where Puerto Rico manages its internal affairs while relying on American military protection and diplomatic representation. In other words, the weaker partner handles its internal affairs while the stronger partner provides military protection and diplomatic muscle. Now, guys, stop for a second. This has been the million-dollar question for years in regards to when you get to Daniel 9:27, where in which the Antichrist will make a covenant of peace for 7 years with Israel and the surrounding nations. One of the arguments that is always proposed there is how in the world will the Arabs agree to a 7-year peace treaty with Israel? And many of them say it has to be a Jew that will make this statement. Guys, again, just like this article is emphasizing, you would be shocked at the desperation that will come from either Islamic groups or nations or leaders in the event, watch this, in the aftermath of major wars and conflicts wherein which there is a great loss of life, great loss of economic status, great loss of political power, weapons, manufacturing, industrial, and the list goes on. If they have suffered such great loss, they will be more quick to capitulate and to throw their hat in the ring for peace. This is why I believe, again, this is why I believe that there's got to be major wars and conflicts that lead up to and produces a series of treaties. Because it's going to get so bad that there's going to be this major push for peace. And this is why something has to happen, guys, in order for Israel to let down their guard, lower their defense. No walled cities, no bar gates, none of, they dwell in a place of safety. Read that. It's Ezekiel 38, 39. That is the environment where in which the hooks and the jaws are placed in these nations. And guess who's spearheading this? Iran, aka Persia, with Turkey, with Russia, these three major players, and along with others. And they'll be pulled down into conflict with Israel when they're dwelling in a place of safety. And this is why, again, Paul emphasized in his writing to the church of Thessalonica, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is, and we could, and this article goes on and on, guys, and it gets kind of a little bit redundant. because they keep repeating themselves. And what, again, when we basically gave you a synopsis of what they're talking about here. So again, I want to emphasize this. We need to pay attention. Everything that's going now, and this is my closing argument, or not argument, but closing talking point, I guess you could say. With the Middle East, again, Israel's in seven fronts. You've got the conflict with Europe. Now you've got Israel just relentlessly bombing Syria. Because Israel knows that when and if these weapons, and who God only knows what weapons there is. We're talking about probably chemical weapons, biological weapons, whatever. If those weapons fall into the hands of those rebels, I don't care what the UN says or Turkey says that, you know, we need to give them a chance. Guys, their manifesto is known. Their agenda, their manifesto is no different than, and when you start studying it down, when you start reading it down, it's no different than Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran's, Assad's, all of them. Make no doubt, they want Jerusalem, they want the capital, they want Israel gone. They want that land, they want the Golan Heights. They want the West Bank. They want that. But so all this land for peace, and we're willing to rub elbows with Israel and let them be our big brother and protect us and watch out for us and keep our back. Guys, that's a listen, I can take you to the book of Ezekiel, and the prophet talks about they've been taken up by the lips of liars and whispers and talkers. They get out here in public and they say one thing, but behind the scenes, behind closed doors, they're conspiring. They're conspiring their agenda, their main goal, which is, again, to eliminate Jerusalem, to eliminate Israel. So what I see coming, it will not surprise me if what we're seeing with Israel bombing Damascus is there. Eventually, I have no doubt that these rebels will eventually, they'll be dragged into a war with Israel, and then it'll be eight fronts, and then it'll be nine, then it'll be 10. And then what's going to happen, again, what's going to happen is this is going to eventually emerge into what I believe is Psalm 83. And we're going to see that major war be fulfilled. And in that war, I will not be surprised if Isaiah 17, Damascus becoming a ruinous heap, is fulfilled in that war. And then this war will be so devastating, it'll be so bad, after all these wars, that they're going to continue. You're going to, in the midst of all this, you're going to see, and again, I won't be surprised if you see Trump. Here comes Trump on the scene. He gets sworn in January 20th. Here he comes. Now he wants to bring peace to the Middle East. Now he's going to bring a peace negotiation. This is part of this series of treaties. Okay? I'm not saying that Trump's the Antichrist. I don't believe that. But there's going to be a series of treaties. So this thing's going to continue to escalate. It's going to bring about prophecy, Psalm 83. Then out of that, we'll fulfill Isaiah 17. That'll knock Syria out of the picture. And then somewhere down the road, and again, I don't have a timeline on this. This could be all of this right here, what I just said, could be a matter of, it could be months and it could be years. But in that process of time, somehow, Israel is going to be convinced to lower their guard, lower their weapons, lower the gates, lower the bars. And this is going to set the stage for Ezekiel 38:39. And remember, somewhere in this, Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist is going to emerge. And he is going to confirm a treaty that's already been established. The framework's already been established, and he's just going to come along and confirm it. And then Paul says, and he's going to say peace and safety, and the whole world is going to be in jubilation. But he says they will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Now, remember, the Antichrist comes at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. So for the first 42 months, it's basically peace and safety. Now, there'll be things happening. Go read it. You can go read that Revelation chapter, I believe it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. But then you get to Revelation 13, mid-trib. The Antichrist breaks the treaty. He sets up his headquarters in Jerusalem in the third temple that will be built. That's where his headquarters will be built. And then his true identity and manifesto will be revealed to the world as we know it. So guys, all of this stuff that we're seeing, remember Luke 21, 28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you to pick it up today on Apple and Android. Hit yes to push notifications. You'll be squared away. And guys, don't forget tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, Monday night prayer tonight. I'm excited about this. Praise God. Thank the Lord that I'm feeling much better physically. And I'm coming with all guns blazing. So y'all be praying for this prayer meeting, because I'm telling you, you talk about coming together as a corporate body to pray. The adversary, the enemy, will try to oppose it. He'll bring opposition. But the devil is a liar. In Jesus' name, tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to come together and we're going to pray. We're going to intercede. We're going to pray about this whole drone nonsense, because, again, this is a serious situation, guys. If they are trying to find WMDs, we need to find them. We don't want that stuff going on off in cities. This would be absolutely catastrophic. This would be devastating. So we're going to pray about that stuff. We got a lot to pray about. And I'll probably share a little devotional word with you. I like throwing those little devotional words in there in the midst of our prayer, so we can pray towards that too as well. So again, if you're listening by Apple, Spotify, Rumble, Facebook, X, aka Twitter, Instagram, any of these places outside of YouTube, you need to come over to YouTube, subscribe to our main channel so you can be a part of these prayer meetings. And again, as always, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, through the website. There's different ways you can do that. Or you can give through check or money order right there on your screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for today, and we'll see you guys tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.